for the new year? Here in Denmark, actually in Denmark, not Belgium, you take all your unused plates that you haven't used throughout the year and you shatter them against the wall. It's probably a tradition started by a plate manufacturer, I'm guessing. I don't know. In Peru, it's the Taka Nukui Festival. They basically gather in the supposed to settle all the differences that people have had over the year, and then you start the new year fresh. If I wanted to try that this morning, but not here, in my head, oh my goodness. In Switzerland, you drop ice cream on the floor. In France, you eat pancakes. I like that one. In Ireland, you throw bread against the wall. Again, probably started by a bread manufacturer. In Estonia, don't go to eat 7 large meals on New Year's Day to bring in the idea of abundance for the new year. And since I have gained about 100 pounds since Thanksgiving, we are not going to do that. But have you done any New Year's resolutions today? I looked it up. Some unusual New Year's resolutions. One guy said, I'm going to stop procrastinating because I didn't write one last year and I still haven't written one this year. One person said, I'm going to eat more bacon. You guys know the difference? Effect and effect. You know, one's with an A, one's with an E. Do you guys know the difference? Then you're good. All right. Here's one. I'm not going to shovel snow. I know. That's a tough one here. Or I thought this one was strange. This year, I'm not going to die. That's my New Year's resolution. That's a pretty good one, actually, I thought. So I'm so glad nobody yelled out, no! That would have been highly embarrassing. I love you all. Thank you so much. I really set myself up sometimes for some deep failure. But it's the story of my life. My New Year's resolution is this, to radically impact the world for Jesus Christ. That's my New Year's resolution, to radically impact the world for Christ, and that Christ within the Veil Church would do the same. We're starting kind of a new year, and for the new year, we've got kind of a new theme going throughout the year. So different times I'll be preaching on this new theme, but the new theme is the great adventure. Because this 2017 is a great year for people all across the world. First of all, it's great for Lutherans because 500 years ago at the Castle Church door in Wittenberg, Martin Luther nailed his 95 thesis, and the actual 500-year anniversary of that's coming this October. And so this is kind of a big deal for Lutheran churches all around the world, but it's actually all Protestant churches, which is pretty much all the other churches that aren't Roman Catholic or Eastern Orthodox. I mean, get to tie into this whole thing of the Protestant Reformation, which is a big deal, and that's a big deal for us. But it's also Christ Lutheran Veil Church. I tell you, 2017 is going to be a banner year for our congregation. I feel it in our bones. There's going to be so many exciting things going on this year that it's going to make your head spin. And I'll be there videotaping it. It'll be really fun. But this is a banner year. And because of that, because of all the exciting things that are going on, we're going to have a big adventure this year. And this is the great adventure. And we'll be unfolding it as the year goes on. But this is the year of the great adventure. And it kind of ties into our gospel lesson for today. Because we see this morning about Jesus walking along the Sea of Galilee. He sees these four guys, and he goes up to them and he says, follow me. And they leave their nets, and they go and they follow Jesus. Can't even imagine what it would have been like to be Jesus back then, walking along and says, follow me. And you just, okay, I'm going to get up, I'm going to follow Jesus. But that's what they did. I have not seen this show, but apparently History Channel last year, the year before, did a whole thing on Jesus or the Bible or something like that. But I remember seeing the trailer, and the trailer was so interesting because Jesus is sitting there and he's got the disciples, and one of the disciples says to Jesus, what are we going to do? And Jesus turned to him kind of with this grin, and he says, we're going to change the world. And he did. When you think about it, he did change the world. Because if you know about the Roman world that Jesus lived in, about the cruelty, I mean, if you lived in Rome, if you were a Roman citizen, there was the Peace of Rome. There were a lot of great things happening. But if you were not a Roman citizen, if you were a stranger, if you were an outcast, if you had a disease, if there was anything like that, life was pretty miserable. Life was actually very, 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 very horrible. And yet, because of 2,000 years of the teaching of Jesus, life has gotten a lot better in this world. And he did change the world. So we're going to look at that this morning from Matthew 4. We're going to just look at a few things that Jesus talked about. And the first one is this. Jesus goes up to his disciples and he says, follow me. Follow me. I couldn't find it and I just didn't have time, but there was a meme I saw on something a couple years ago, and it was Jesus, and he was talking to somebody, and he was saying, no, I'm not talking about linking to me on Facebook. What I'm really talking about is following me. Because a lot of people think that following Jesus is just clicking a box that says I'm a Christian, and that's about as far as it goes. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. When he says, follow me, he's actually talking more about what we showed today in Simon Says, which is do the things that I do, talk like I do, love that I do, be in the world as I'm in the world, and kind of learn from my example. And for 3 years, the disciples followed Jesus, and they saw how radically different he was. I mean, just take one thing that Jesus talked about, love your enemies. I mean, nobody at Jesus' time was talking about loving your enemies. Nobody. If you had enemies, what did you want to do to your enemies? Destroy them. You know, tweet bad things about them. Whatever it is, whoever your enemy is, you got to kind of make sure that they stay your enemies. Jesus is like, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about loving enemies. Loving people who are different. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to follow Jesus. I saw it was a year or two ago, I saw a pastor kind of preaching, and he was talking about his son. And he said to his son, I want you to clean your room. And so the son goes away, and about 2 hours later, he comes back to his father, and he says, okay, Dad, I've learned what a room is, and I've learned how a vacuum cleaner works, and I've learned what a broom does, and I've learned where I should put my clothes and all that sort of thing. So, Dad, I'm ready. Someday I'm going to clean my room. And his dad's like, no, I want you to clean your room. I don't want you to study about it. But there are so many followers of Jesus Christ that think it's more like the former than it is the latter. We study about it. We argue about it. We have big debates about what it means to be a Christian and how to follow Jesus Christ and all these big conferences and all that sort of thing. But it's not that difficult. It really is. I know, as simple as it sounds, it's like acting like Jesus and being like Jesus and loving like Jesus and doing the things that Jesus taught us how to do. And that's the whole purpose of him coming to this earth, was teaching us. You know how it is in the military? First, I'm going to do it, and then we're going to walk together, and then you're going to do it, and I'm going to walk behind you, and then you're going to do it, and then you're going to teach other people how to do it. I mean, that's kind of what Jesus, the whole plan was. Follow me. And so they did. 3 years, they saw what it's like to follow Jesus. Then they taught other people, and they taught other people, and those other people taught other people, and somebody's teaching you. Somebody's taught you. Follow me. It's a high challenge. It's a truly high challenge. It's not simple. It's not easy. There are times when following Jesus is going to be a cost in your life. But that's okay. He's there, and he loves you. You know, the great thing about being a follower of Jesus is that he followed perfectly, that even though we don't follow perfectly, we're still in the kingdom of God. We're still loved by him, even when we don't follow him exactly as he's called us to follow him. And that's a great thing. Anyway, so that was the first thing. And the second thing that's in this passage this morning is that the disciples left everything and they followed Jesus. They put away their nets, they got up, and they followed Jesus. Now, this is really, really fascinating because they left everything. And so there is this There is this concept that's always been around in the church that says if you truly want to follow Jesus, you kind of have to leave everything and you got to follow Jesus. And in the Protestant Reformation, at the time of Martin Luther, there was actually this dualism going on. It was kind of two classes of people. And the first class of people were those people who had kind of signed a vow of poverty or a vow of silence or whatever that vow was, and they lived in a monastery, and they were the holy people. And if you were a holy person, everybody knew that you were a holy person, you were a follower of Jesus Christ, you had dedicated your whole life to Jesus Christ. And then there were the other people who did not do that. They just supported the holy people. And that's kind of the world that Martin Luther grew up in. And he was reading Scripture, and he says, now, wait a minute. That's not what it means to follow Jesus Christ. You don't have to give up everything. Now, there were some disciples that gave up everything, but did all the disciples give up everything? I mean, let me ask you a question. Do you think Peter stopped fishing? Or do you think that when it came time for the disciples to eat, they're like, Peter, you know how to fish. Why didn't you find some fish? And so Peter and Andrew and James and John, four of them, right, were fishermen. They probably went out and got the food. Matthew, right, was the tax collector. He bartered. He knew how to barter. So whenever they would go into a town, it was, okay, Matthew, you go barter. And they would come back with things that he had bartered for. Or maybe Philip. Philip apparently was a great manager. Now, there's a couple things about when it was feeding the 5,000, they went to five. Jesus said, okay, you guys feed him. And they're like, oh, we don't know how to do this. Let's go get Philip. Philip knows how to solve all these kind of problems. And so Philip was the manager of that. But they didn't stop their life. Necessarily, they followed Jesus, but they kept their vocation. And this is big for Martin Luther. We're going to actually talk about this throughout the year because vocation is one of the most powerful things in this world. And vocation basically means this, that you can be a follower of Jesus Christ and you can do other things in this world, and you should do both. You need to follow Jesus in this world. You can't be alone on a desert island following Jesus. He's called you to follow him in the situation that you're at. So that's the second thing I see in here. And the third one is this. Become fishers of men. Obviously, Jesus was being very clever with Peter. Peter says, what are we going to do? He says, well, right now you're fishing for fish, but I'm going to teach you how to be fishers of men. And so they go off and they become fishers of men. What does that mean? It means, according to Jesus, that we're going to go and we're going to change the world. We're going to go find people and we're going to teach them how to follow me. And we're going to go fish for them. And we're going to go where the fishing hole is and we're going to put in our bait and they're going to hook on the bait and we're going to pull them out and we're going to teach them how to be people like me. And that's what Jesus has called us to do. You know, one of the worst things that this congregation ever did was hire me as your pastor, or to call me as your pastor. You're probably, no! But, you know, in my previous career, I did a lot of building and was involved in a lot of construction projects and that sort of thing. And honestly, for about the first, 10 years of my ministry, I honestly thought that what I was called to do, I mean, when you get called by a church, like we're going to plant a church, what do you do? Okay, first of all, you got to find land, right? There's not a whole lot of land available, and so we're going to look at every piece of them. We're going to find the land. Then you got to get building. You got to do capital campaigns. You got to strategic plans. You got all this. And what's the purpose of all that? The purpose of that is so that we can build our church, so we can have a church. And honestly, this is, for a long time, I thought this is my calling in life. I got to get a church. I got to get a building. I got to get water. I got to put in a fire hydrant so that when the fire happens, the firemen can hook up to the put out the fire. We got to put a sprinkler system in the building so that when the building burns down, the sprinkler system is still, I mean, all this stuff. I'm just thinking that's, you know, unfortunately, that's what, you know, my mindset was. But as I've grown over the last, and this has been probably in the last 2 or 3 years, you know, God kind of hits you with a 2x4 and then he hits you with another 2x4 and then he picks up the big 4x4 and he hits you. And then, you know, you don't wake up, and so he's like, what do I got around here? You know, and so he's, okay, I got this. I'm going to hit him, and he's going to get knocked down and all that. And finally, he's drilled into me that the building and all that is not as important as simply following him, as finding people in the world around us to follow him. Now, I'm not saying the building's not important. The building is hugely important. If you knew how many times we had meetings in people's homes and distributed across rat-infested feed stores and all sorts of things, the building is a very, very, very nice place, and it is extremely important to help us equip for the ministry. But the buildings are not the end-all of ministry. The end-all of ministry is lives changed, is people encountering Jesus Christ and having a radical reformation in their heart. That is the goal of this congregation. And I'm sorry that I'm a little bit late to the game on this, and I apologize for that. I mean, sometimes God just has to work through different means to get you to where to the point where it kind of clicks, and it's clicking. And 2017, I'm telling you, is a banner year. Because if you look out our door, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of people on Sunday morning or throughout their life, throughout their world, throughout their work, throughout their school, that are struggling because they don't know Jesus. They don't know that there is a way to live their life that brings peace and love and joy and happiness and fulfillment and all that, and has nothing to do with what car they drive or what school they go to or, you know, the clothes they wear or what they listen to or their political party or whatever it is. The only thing that matters is that Jesus Christ lives inside of them and that they love him and that they're filled beyond compassion and beyond compare because they love Jesus Christ. And that's the message that we need to share with the world around us. When Jesus said, "Follow me," what he was literally talking about was a life transformation of people's lives. That's what Jesus was talking about. And for those of you that have had that life transformation, which we all have, right, to some degree, we know the joy and the peace and the love that can happen from that. But there are so many people, they wake up without hope, they wake up without life, they struggle from day to day. They don't know anything about the love of their Father. That's what God has called us to do. You know, we have this little 12 days of Christmas campaign going on. It was unexpected because the building committee had come up with a plan. It's a little bit pricey, so they're kind of reworking that. So we were also thinking about maybe putting up a couple more modular buildings to solve some short-term ministry problems. We just started into that process. And then I had a meeting eight days ago with somebody who's, you know, what's your needs and all that sort of thing. I was laying out all the different, you know, we got the capital campaign coming up and we got all this. Oh, and we were thinking about some modular buildings. And this person said, "That's it." He said, "From my perspective, that's something that you really need to concentrate on so that you can expand your ministry. And I will match dollar for dollar up to $30,000. It'll help you in that direction." And oh my goodness, what a huge blessing. So we're in the middle of this 12 days of Christmas trying to raise the other $30,000. And if that happens, if we can do that, we're going to be able to solve some really big, huge ministry problems that we have. Now, most of us come to church on Sunday morning, and, you know, it's this big, huge facility, everything's wonderful, but there's another aspect of Christ in the Vale Church that happens outside of Sunday morning that is huge. We have people on the ministry center almost every day doing all sorts of things, and there are times in the week where they're rubbing up against each other and it's causing all sorts of issues. This will help tremendously. I know it sounds like a little thing and it's kind of crazy, and, you know, who knows what that's going to mean for the rest of life, but it's going to solve a big issue. And I am praising God because we are almost halfway there, and I know we're going to reach this goal, and I'm so excited about it because then you start dreaming about what other ministries are going to be solved because of this. But all of that pales in comparison to the call of Jesus. And the call of Jesus is simply this: come follow me. Do as I do. Love as I love. Live as I live. He's done all the work for us, so we're free to do that. In his name, amen.